Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is on creativity and how to stay in the zone. Now, as you might know, I took a 3-year hiatus from Blog Talk Radio. The show I did before was called the Job Search Bootcamp Show. My co-host and I were on the air for about 2 years, and you guessed it, the show was about job search. We helped a lot of people during the recession. It was super rewarding. And ever since November of 2014, I've had a great time writing, producing, and hosting new programs for this program, the Be Radiant Radio program. Each show is a labor of love, a creative process of choosing a topic, outlining my thoughts, writing down the key points and examples I want to share, picking music for the break, and trying to guess the timing. Every time I wonder, will I be able to squeeze all this into 30 minutes? And then it's showtime, and I'm on live, and the adrenaline kicks in, and I get to go into the zone and just do it. And before I know it, time is up. And twice a month, I do this creative process, no exceptions. It's a great way to keep myself disciplined, to stay creative and stay connected and in the zone. And today I thought it would be a good idea to explore creativity and this, you know, creative process that we go through as creative beings. You know, I help people all the time through career transitions, and many of them are seeking a way to be more creative in their work life. I often find myself talking to them about how they're being creative, period. I mean, across their lives. Sometimes a career can mean that we get to be creative. We get to meet that need to be creative with our work. Sometimes we just can't do that. But just because we can't meet the need at a job in the work we do, it doesn't mean that this need that we have to create shouldn't be met somehow in some other way in some other, you know, area of our lives. Now, many people think that if you're a creative person, it just must mean you're an artist or maybe a writer, a musician, or something, you know, along those lines. But actually, the definition of creativity is very broad. Even everyday activities like setting up a filing system that didn't exist before, preparing a meal, writing computer code, all of those things fit the definition. So much of the work we do is actually creative. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's the ability to make new things or think of new ideas. So since you have opposable thumbs, reasonability, and you can solve problems, you're creative by default. In her book, The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron points out that all of us are creative at some level, and she says it this way. She says, creativity is the natural order of life, and the refusal to be creative is self-will and is counter to our true nature. Now, some time ago, my friend Regina recommended Cameron's book, this book, The Artist's Way, and I'm going to recommend it to you, too. If you're interested in this topic, then you must read this book. And no, it's not a how-to book on how to draw or paint or sculpt. It's about, and it's not even about the lives of artists, okay? So what it is, in short, what it aims to help you rediscover your creative side, the side that, you know, many of us cast away in favor of being responsible, well, and dare I say, a boring adults. A huge takeaway I got from this book was what Cameron says about forsaking our creativity, pushing it aside. She says that when we do this, we ignore gifts from the Creator and that which we're all born with, whether our gifts are painting, writing, building birdhouses, designing workshops, like I do a lot, cooking, ministering, gardening, marketing, advertising, I mean, whatever it is. This is where I first learned and caught on to this idea that there's a link between creativity and the divine. Cameron covers this quite a lot in her book and does a lot of focus on this area. She says that the heart of creativity is an experience of the mystical union. The heart of the mystical union is an experience of creativity. In other words, you can't separate it. One and the same. And she's not the only one to make that link. In fact, she cites Johann Brahms. and who said this, is a quote from him, "Straight away the ideas flow in upon me directly from God." And Joseph Chilton Pierce, he said, "We must accept that this creative pulse within us is God's creative pulse itself." Now, Rollo May, he was a mid-20th century psychologist who wrote The Courage to Create, also said this about creativity. So if you don't go all the way with the whole, you know, God concept, listen to what Rollo May said. He said, "The experience is one of heightened consciousness, ecstasy." So there you have it, right? I mean, what's your favorite form of creative expression? For me, it's working with and shaping words into forms I want them to take, like creating this radio show, like the resumes I write for my clients, like the books and the articles I produce, like the programs I do, especially the workbooks and the worksheets that I've created for my students in the classes. And oh, sure, I create in other ways too, like when I plan and cook a special meal. And for many years, I used to sew clothes and even designed, sewed, and sold baby bibs when my daughter was a little baby. I used to also enjoy putting together scrapbooks of photographs. And these days, just for the sheer fun of it, I like to choose images and make collages with them. So you see, I can get pretty artsy and crafty if I want to take the time to do that. These are all expressions of creativity, of course. They all scratch the itch a little bit. But what I'm talking about is the main way that you like to create, where when you're doing it, you get into the zone, the divine zone. You know, athletes call it being in the zone, too. It can happen when they're creating experiences with their talent and the physical exertions that they're making with their work in the sport. Bill Russell, the Boston Celtics superstar basketball player from the mid-50s and late 1960s, he wrote about it in his autobiography called The Second Wind. I love his description. It's so perfect. Let me share with you a few excerpts from his book where he talks about it. He said, "Every so often, a Celtics game would heat up so that it would become more than a physical or even mental game, and it would be magical. When it happened, I could feel my play rise to a new level. The feeling would spread to the other guys, and we'd all levitate. Then the game would just take off, and there'd be an natural ebb and flow that reminded me of how rhythmic and musical basketball is supposed to be. I'd find myself thinking, this is it. I want to keep going. And I'd actually be rooting for the other team. When their players made spectacular moves, I wanted their shots to go into the bucket. That's how pumped up I'd be. The game would move so quickly that every fake, cut, and pass would be surprising. And yet nothing could surprise me. It was almost as though we were playing in slow motion. During those spells, I could almost sense how the next play would develop and where the next shot would be taken. My premonitions would be consistently correct. And I always felt that if I only knew all of the Celtics by heart, and I always felt then that I not only knew all the Celtics by heart, but also all the opposing players, and that they all knew me. There have been many times in my career when I felt moved or joyful, but these were the moments when I had chills pulsing up and down my spine." And I think that's it. Bill Russell had it right on. And whenever I read that, even to this day, and when I read that years ago, I still get goosebumps from it. He was describing being in this mass creating zone where he and his teammates were in the zone at a kind of level that makes you feel connected to others, that gives you a sense of oneness with everyone else who's also in the zone with you. And for me, this divine connection comes when I'm creating with words, especially when I write poetry, which I only do if I'm in the right frame of mind. Then it's that kind of ebb and flow, that slow motion feeling like Bill Russell described. It's magical. It's like I'm at a new level of awareness, which of course I am when I'm doing that. Maybe your favorite way to create started early on like mine did. In fact, I often advise people to look at some of their early memories, their childhood aspirations, their childhood activities, to find the origins of their lifelong passions, and even can tell you something about your purpose in life. It's the case for me because ever since I was in third grade, when I learned to rhyme house with mouse and, you know, indeed with need and that kind of stuff, I've loved poetry, you know, just doing silly poems to rhyme words. And that's because I love words, and having the ability to manipulate them to communicate powerful images and deep meanings was really important to me. And over the years, I've learned that poetry is not just a play on words or merely, you know, a descriptive statement or just rhyming words. Poetry is a portal to exploring the meaning of life. Oh, and in case you're wondering who my favorite poet is, it would be Hafiz. I just love Hafiz. Poetry to me, it's also sound. A poem can be a melody in and of itself, or it can be accompanied by a melody and become a song. So, you know, poetry to music, there you go. In addition to the option of kind of weaving abstract concepts through the verses, poetry can give you a mood. It can put you in a mood. And poetry is like casting a spell, and even has been used for casting spells, right? Some might call it prayer. And, you know, indeed, not only do we imitate and honor the creator when we create anything, we slow down into this moment of being and pure experience. So when we create, we transcend our life drama and we connect with the power of the present moment. That, to me, is like this magic of creating. And we may even produce a new parallel moment through our imagination in that power that we have. In that focused moment, we become centered, grounded, and through creating, our higher self journeys with the creator, the big creator. And that's my absolute favorite way to connect with the divine. And I challenge you, now, how do you use and how can you use creativity to remember your connection to the divine essence inside of you? So while you sit with that for a bit, let's take this. This is an excellent time to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about staying connected, staying in the zone. And of course, you know, what happens to us? We get kind of disconnected from our creativity and what happens when that happens. But really it's about staying connected. And so I want to talk about that when we come back. So take a little break, take a deep breath, and let's dive into that when we come back. Chilling out music. That song's one of my favorites by Kevin MacLeod called Cattails. Earlier, I mentioned Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and I'd like to talk about that for a minute. I mean, my understanding is that when she started offering the material in this book, it was in the form of a workshop. And, in fact, a 12-week series that she had come up with, like a 12-step creative process, and that she later turned it into the book. And, in fact, I think she calls it a creative recovery program. The activities are really easily done individually as well. I didn't do it as a workshop. I did it, you know, on my own through reading the book, even though I had a friend and we were working on it together. At the time, I didn't know how badly I needed this book until I read it. I was sorely in need of recovering my creative self at that time. And there were several reasons, but the bottom line is that I had let others' opinions, you know, get me off track. And Cameron would call these people my wet blankets, so whatever. But the deal is that, to be specific, I decided to write poetry for a grade in college, and that really messed me up. So I didn't write poetry after college. In fact, it took me about 12 years before I actually ever wrote another poem after I left college. And when I did write the poem, I would say it was definitely divinely inspired, because even though it was a pretty bad poem, and hey, I mean, I was out of practice, so what did I expect, right? But I was inspired to write it because of my feelings about my daughter, and she had just turned 8 years old, and it was just that time when I felt like I was wanting to inspire her as well, and I wrote this poem to her. And now that I think about it, until just now I didn't really put that together, I wrote the poem to her, and she was just about the same age as I was when I first started falling in love with poetry. So, yeah, love, that's fun. I love finding synchronicities like that. Anyway, what I learned through Julia Cameron's process is that by having, you know, denied my inner creative person that I am, I had unwittingly just rejected my connection to the creator, to the source. I realize now that I'm obligated to use this gift wherever I can, whether the world's going to enjoy it or not. So, basically the bottom line is I have to write, even if I'm not going to share my writing. And now I write poems just because I can and because I want to be connected to the divine. So let's talk more about that, staying connected. Creativity is one of the best ways to observe your connection with the divine. In the past, I've talked about gratitude. I've written articles about gratitude being really a great way, and to me, I think it's still the number one way to get connected to the divine. Creativity is another one, perhaps maybe the second best way. For me, though, creativity is kind of almost like you have to get into a mindset. But it's not just the act of creating. It's getting connected through getting immersed in the zone, which, as you can tell from Bill Russell's description earlier, it involves being fully present in the moment. So the creativity helps us get into the moment. And one of the biggest challenges we face is trying to stay in that zone when we feel like we're not doing any zone-worthy stuff. I mean, as soon as you have like a thought like that, you immediately begin to feel disconnected. But getting back into the zone can be accomplished, I think, in two simple steps. The first step is awareness. Be aware that your mind will choose unhelpful thoughts from time to time. Not your fault. It just does because, you know, it does. And don't worry, we all have unhelpful thoughts in our heads. They came from outside influences during our formative years. And whenever your mind chooses them, it's merely just because that inner voice of the authentic you that really wants to make the choice but hasn't been making the choice, that authentic you has been temporarily put on mute. And you know, because, well, let's face it, the real you would never choose unhelpful thoughts, right? It would only choose helpful thoughts. So step one is awareness. And step two is reframing. You can reframe the feeling by choosing a more helpful thought. And I've talked about this quite a lot, too. I think reframing is so powerful. Now, here's an example. Maybe something in how it relates to creativity. So let's say that something like this goes through your mind. I really want to work on my creative project right now, rather than having to do the drudgery of earning a paycheck. Let's just say that's your thought, okay? Next, what happens is you start thinking about how dissatisfied you are. And the thought of dissatisfaction gives rise to this perception that you have of being separate from the divine flow, and you're yanked out of the zone. Of course, you really aren't separated, not truly. It's just your attention is. But nevertheless, that's what it feels like. You are aware that you're dissatisfied and feeling disconnected, and you know that it has come from this unhelpful thought. You are noticing. And certainly at this point, you could choose a more helpful thought, like, I want to reconnect, or I want to stay connected. However, is that really enough? Maybe, maybe not. And this is when reframing can really come in handy. You choose a thought that is not only more helpful, but it's also one that reframes the situation. So I want to stay connected as a helpful thought, but reframing it takes it a step further. And what you do is you would come up with an alternative, or a what I would like to call as like a rethink, you know, a reboot of your thought. So you need to have your mind believe this, and this is why it's important. And since this will come from your inner wise self, it needs to be a resonant truth that your mind can buy into. It can really absorb. So here's an example of how you could reframe the thought from this example. And you can say, okay, I'm not currently working on my creative project, but this is how I am earning money right now. And since I want money, and this will create money in my life, this is what I want to do right now. And so this is how I'm being creative right now. And, of course, your mind can absorb that, because what are you doing? You're telling your mind that you're creating money, okay? So the creative process right now is about creating money through your work that you're doing at that present time. So when you choose the thought that everything you do serves your creativity in some way, then you can more easily stay connected to the divine. Now, there is one more thought that I definitely want to leave you with today, and it comes from Osho, the Indian philosopher, and he once said, when your creativity comes to a climax, when your whole life becomes creative, you live in God. Love what you do. Be meditative while you're doing it, whatsoever it is. I love that. He says you live in God. So your whole life becomes creative. You see, you are a creative person. Every single moment you're creating your life with your thoughts. Every day you solve problems with your creativity. Maybe tomorrow you'll go even so far as to like do some painting or sculpting or compose music or write something. And that could be the effort that you make to consciously express creativity. And you're always connected to the divine creative flow. The question is, where is your attention? And to regain that feeling of connection, notice what thought has shifted your awareness away, and choose another thought that you can reframe to be more helpful, and trust that your creative expression, that through that creative expression, you do live in God. And now, looking at the time, I see it's almost time to go. I think I want to close, though, today by reading you one of my original poems. It's a fun one, not too deep. And I wrote it back in 2006 when I visited San Francisco. It's called On Market Street. So here goes. I'm going to recite my poem to you. On Market Street, a one-legged man in a watch cap and wool coat picks a jazz riff on his electric guitar, a funky tune with a whole lot of cool to it. People pass by his borrowed real estate, and he earns a few coins. Street vendors arrange their wares, hand-beaded jewelry, and glittery glass baubles, photos and paintings of city scenes, and the Golden Gate for the tourists, fruits of the autumn harvest, from luscious peppers to lemongrass. It's all there, on the square, at Market Street. I sip my coffee with cream, listening to the cable cars do their ricketing, 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 as they slide past the palms lining the railway, and give a backbeat for the funky tune with a whole lot of cool to it. All right, that does it for today. I hope you enjoyed that poem. I hope you'll enjoy the next show that I'm going to do for you too, because I'm going to go for something that I have written about extensively, talked about a lot, overcoming the things that stand in our way so that we can get our dreams. So on March 1st, my show is going to be called Backburner Dreams. So if you've been putting off your dreams, putting them on a back burner, you don't want to miss the show. And we're going to talk about the three main reasons people put their dreams on the back burner and what you can do about it. So thank you so much for being with me today. And I want to also thank Doom Dance and Kevin McLeod for our music. They're quite creative. If you're interested in following me online or you want to check out my articles, courses, etc., you can find all the links at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. You can send me an email through the site if you'd like as well. I'd love to hear from you. I would love to hear what you do for creative things. Maybe you write poems too. I love to hear your poems if you want to send me something. And please join me not only next time on March 1st, but join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Looking forward to talking with you next time. And in the meantime, be sure to shine on.